Thank you, Brother Ron. Thank you, praise team. Yeah, at this time, anyone in Children's Church, I think, is ready to head that way. So if you want to make your way out either direction, and Miss Diana and Pam's headed that way. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8 this morning. And as the Children's Church is headed out, praise the Lord for His goodness to us. You know, when you get this time of the year, I want to preach a message today. I titled the message, Seed Planting. Seed Planting. You say, well, what does that have to do with the Bible or church? I think it has a lot to do with the Bible and the church and the ministry of Christ. You know, it's interesting. Roz takes a lot of heat around here, being from Ohio. I also was born in Ohio, lived there till I was 17, then moved to Texas, and back to Michigan, back to South Dakota, back to Michigan. So I've lived longer in Michigan than I have any other years. So and that, but I have family in Ohio, a lot of blessings in Ohio, and that. So that's all right, Roz. Hang in there. I know you got thick skin, and so she can take it. A lot of good things come out of the state of Ohio. But let me share with you one of those. I think of growing up in the state of Ohio. My father went to heaven early. He went to heaven at age 53, and had a heart surgery at 49, had another one at age 53, and didn't make it through that. God took him home early, but he had a huge impact on me in my early years. And that he grew up in a Nazarene church under the influence of my grandmother, who was a godly woman, loved the Lord, faithful. Grew up on a farm down in Perrysburg, Ohio. Raised 8 children until she got a goiter and had surgery and then died. And in that, so my grandfather was left to raise 8 children on the family farm. And that's hard to do when you got one man trying to raise 8 children. So the older boys headed off to the war, World War II, and that my father, my grandfather then started dating another lady that come into the farmhouse there. And needless to say, my dad and her didn't get along very well. So my father moved out of the family farm at age 16 to a boarding house in Mansfield, Ohio, lived on his own, and started just supporting himself and that. And so all the years that I grew up there in Ohio, we lived on an acre of ground. And one half of that acre, because my father grew up on a farm, and that one half of our land or acre, a half acre, was all in a garden. He was a farmer, grew up as a farmer. And so I don't know what your experience is of farming or whatever. And, you know, I live in a little farming community, and it's always interesting. I always think back in all those years of growing up. And you know, I love sports, all kinds of sports, football, basketball, baseball, golf, everything. And I always wanted my father to play sports with me. And he said, Rick, that's not my cup of tea. And he always wanted me to farm with him. And I used to tell him, that's not my cup of tea. But anyway, since he was the boss and I was the kid, I ended up learning how to work in the garden and how to farm and how to do that. I used to go run the combines and the big tractors and cut the alfalfa and bale the hay. And I'll never forget the first time when I was a teenager, early teenager, trying to back a double hay wagon into a barn loaded with hay. It took me about 2 hours to do it, but I finally made it. And you want a real challenge? Get on a good-sized tractor loaded with hay, 2 wagons, and back it up into the barn straight. And I can do one real easy. Get 2 on there. And so anyway, I had a lot of fun growing. I hated it when I was growing up. But now I look back, and those were some of the best experiences of my life. So this time of the year, my father would start gathering seeds and things that he wanted to plant in the garden. January, February, March, he started getting things ready. I said, what are you doing? He's getting things ready. He'd even get some things ready and start putting seed things in, and either in the basement or wherever it was warm, and start germinating and start getting things ready so he could get a jump on it. And our ground was always tilled. Everything was just right all the time, and getting the seeds. And when it came time to plant the garden, everybody chimed in. We all planted the seed. And the rows had to be perfect. I got chewed out for that a lot of times, you know, getting the rows straight. And never was weeds allowed to grow in the garden. Never was bugs allowed to eat and on your plants and your things. And then when it came time to harvest, if I stuck a shovel in the ground and harvested the potatoes and sliced one potato, I got chewed out royally. He said, you're cutting up or ruining your meal for this winter. And so we had a, at that time, you know, he worked at the steel mill. So he'd leave me a note on the dining room table and say, "Rick, pick the strawberries before you go out and do whatever you're going to do today." And then he'd go off to the steel mill to work. And so I hated that note. When I come around the corner, I see that note laying on the table. I knew exactly what it meant. And so I'd get the 5-gallon bucket, one to sit on, one to pick with, and I'd sit on that bucket, and I'd pick one, put it in, and I'd eat one. Pick one, put it in, and I'd eat one. You know, did you ever do that? And picking strawberries, and that was a lot of fun. And but, you know, so growing up, when I think of the application in the Bible of seed planting, that's really what Christians are called to do. We are seed planters. I want to give you 4 simple examples of that today, how that you and I, as believers in Christ, Christians, Bible-believing Christians, are to be seed planters in the Scriptures. And I think about 4 examples in the Bible of how different ones came to Christ and came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's because somebody planted a seed. I want to show you the first one here. We find in Luke chapter 8 and verse 1, and the woman's name I want to bring to your attention today is Mary Magdalene. And the first convert that I want to bring out and bring to your attention here today, it says in Luke 8 and verse 1, "And it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, now went throughout every city and every village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, the 12 apostles. And then certain women which had been healed of evil spirits," notice that, "and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene." She was called Mary Magdalene because she was from the Sea of Galilee in a little town called Magdala, was where she was from, "out of whom she was cast 7 devils. And then Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." So as you look at the convert here, we see in this that somewhere during that time in Jesus, when he launched his ministry there at the Sea of Galilee, Mary Magdalene came under the gospel, came under the preaching, and Jesus went about preaching and giving the gospel. Mary Magdalene was one of those where the seed of the gospel was planted. And here, what I want you to see in Mary Magdalene's life is that no sinner is too great. Nothing you have ever done is any that God can forgive and heal and cleanse and change a person's life of any walk of life. Every once in a while, through my life's journey, I've come across somebody, as you're witnessing to them, that'll say, "Oh, Pastor Rick, I can't get saved because you don't know what I've done or where I've been." And my answer always is, "Hey, it doesn't make any difference where you've been, what you've done." I said, God can save and heal and take care of the greatest of sinners. Mary Magdalene here in the Bible had 7 devils possessed. Now, it's important for you to understand that during this time, an unbeliever, somebody that's not saved, can be possessed by a devil. But if you're a believer, when you get saved and the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it is impossible for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and to be possessed by a demoniac spirit. It's an impossibility. It cannot exist. Now, demons are real, and it's in the spirit world, and they can influence, and they can buffer, and they can do certain things, and let their fallen angels along the way and that. But you cannot, never can a believer, never can you as a Christian, be possessed by a demoniac spirit. And by the way, demons are real. Even today, demons are real. Angels are real. Angels are created beings. And so we find here Mary Magdalene had 7 devils in here. Now, look in verse 4. "And when much of the people were gathered together," in verse 4, "they were come to him," out to Jesus, "out of every city. And he spake a parable." I love these parables. And he says, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And as it was trodden down, the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, Jesus cried, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." Now notice this in verse 9. The disciples, here's the 12 apostles, they're listening to this parable and not understanding exactly what he means. So they say to him in verse 9, his disciples ask him, saying, "What might this parable be? What is this that you're teaching? Explain this parable to us so we can understand it." So Jesus does that in verse 10. And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. So now Jesus explains the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear the word of God. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And then that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in the honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And no man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see light, for nothing is secret, and that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. And take heed therefore how ye hear, and for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So you find this interesting as he gives this parable. He explains it down as the seed is sown, the word of God goes out. So you and I really are to be in the Bible what the Bible calls seed planters, planting the seed everywhere you go. And it's interesting to watch as you plant the seed, the word of God, it's got to take root, it's got to germinate, it's got to have all the key ingredients to make it to come to life to bear fruit. You know, if you take and plant that seed, and the example that he gave there, simply those on the wayside, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. So the word of God goes forth, and the Bible makes it very clear, Satan is very much aware of the Bible. Satan probably knows more Bible than you and I do. So by that he's very aware, and so he comes along, tries to snatch away the word and to steal it away so it won't seed, so it won't take root, so it won't germinate, so it won't get in the heart. Because if you do and you believe and get saved, and by the way, nobody gets saved, nobody comes to Christ outside of the word of God. The word of God is what generates. The Holy Spirit is what generates a person and gives you new life. And so we find here that in the first example, Satan can come along and steal the seed. Secondly, those that are on the rock. Now, when we till the ground and that, we till good ground and remove the rocks. But if you took a seed and planted it on a rock, it's not going to germinate. It's not going to grow. It's not going to be in the right thing. So they that which are on the rock, when they hear that, receive the word with joy. But these have no root for which they, while they believe, and in time of temptation, then fall away. You got to have it in good ground. You got to have the seed in good ground. You can't plant a farmer. You know, it's interesting. Drive down a country road somewhere, and you know what you'll find every once in a while on a farm field? You ever notice that along the fence line? You'll see a group of rocks. You'll see rocks that are there. Why is that so? Well, number one, taking a tractor and a plow or cultivators or whatever over it, you don't want to plow the rocks up. These farmers have gathered all those field stones, got them all out of the field, and they put them at the end of the field or by the fence line or somewhere and get them out of the way. Why? You cannot grow good seed on rocks. It's just not going to happen. And so we find here in the parable, then some of them fell among thorns. Are they which when they have heard go forth and choked with cares, riches, and pleasure of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. You know, one thing I've noticed that working in the garden, working in the farm, and working around. I had several uncles that had a farm. I had one uncle had a dairy farm and down in Ohio there, and so I used to go help him. And one thing that I always saw through this is when you're there, my father did not want any weeds in the garden. I don't know about you, but weeds can grow no matter what. I think weeds can grow on top of a rock. Really. And you think about that. Why is that so? It goes back to the curse that was given in Genesis chapter 3, the curse that fell upon man and upon life. And so you don't have to do anything to get a weed to grow. But you try to get corn or potatoes or tomatoes or whatever to grow. It's got to be in good ground. It's got to be planted in good soil. It's got to be cultivated. It's got to be watered. It's got to be taken care of. You put it on a rock and it's not going to grow. Weeds are going to come, and what are they going to do? They're going to choke it out. So it's amazing. It was like if one weed ended up in our garden, it was like, oh, my father, it was like radar. It was like, Rick, get the weeds out of the garden. And you had to go and constantly get, why? Because if you let it go, it'll grow up and it'll choke out the seed, the good seed that was planted. And then, if you will, then the good ground. Are they which are in honest, good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bringeth forth fruit with patience. So the good ground is the seed then that is planted, and it brings forth an abundant fruit. And with that, it's a joy to be able to watch it. It's a lot of hard work. But when you get that and you plant the seed in there and you cultivate and you keep the weeds out of it and you nurture it and you water it and you bring it along, and all of a sudden the harvest comes. And the harvest comes around our place when it was time. It was canning. Matter of fact, we never went to the grocery store all the time I was growing up to buy anything except milk and bread. That was it. Everything else, all the vegetables, the corn, the potatoes, everything, the fruit, everything, come out of the garden, everything. And then my dad would buy one pig and a cow, have it slaughtered, butchered, and put it in the freezer. And that's how we lived growing up. So the freezers were always full of meat. And everything else came out. And so when it came to harvest time, then it was time to can. I don't know if you ever did that canning. You don't hear much about that nowadays. People don't can as much as they used to. But what it was your food through the wintertime. So when you look at it here, it's interesting in the seed. Here, Mary Magdalene heard the word of God around the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible says here that she was come to know the Lord. And out of her then were healed evil spirits. And so when you look at Mary Magdalene, it's probably one of the most exciting converts to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. She went everywhere. She was there at the resurrection. She was there throughout the ministry. And what a faithful servant of the Lord. And from her, she was healed that had seven devils, demon possessed by seven devils. So whatever it is, any sinner of any walk of life, nobody is too great in their sin or whatever that God cannot save and God cannot heal. Let me show you. Go over to Acts chapter 8, the second example I want you to see in the Bible. Is sometimes, you know, in this thing called seed sowing, as we plant seed, sometimes people will come and somebody plants a seed, but you may not be the one that reaps the harvest. Sometimes you plant the seed, sometimes you cultivate the seed, sometimes you water the seed, and then sometimes you come along and you harvest the seed. It's always fun to harvest the seed. It's always fun to, you know, to go. I mean, I've walked in time and again, and maybe you've done the same thing, and where all of a sudden you run into somebody, and they are ripe, they're ready, to be picked, they're ready for salvation, they're ready to be saved. And that's what we find right here in Acts chapter 8 with Philip. Now, Philip was preaching a revival, and the ministry of Philip is found all throughout here in the scripture in this chapter, beginning up in verse 5. But the part I want to focus on is in verse 26. And talking about harvesting the seed, sometimes God will put you in a certain place at a certain time just to reap the harvest, and then you move on in your life. For example, in verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. Now keep in mind where he's headed. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah, which is Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, notice this now, that's the Holy Spirit talking to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest what thou readest? Interesting. Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so he openeth not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip was off serving somewhere else and serving the Lord, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip, said, go join yourself to this chariot. I got something for you to do there. And every once in a while, you might be somewhere, and the Holy Spirit pricks your heart and says, you need to talk to this person. You need to go here and see so-and-so. And heed those warnings. Listen to the Holy Spirit of God, because that's oftentimes how He works. He will direct your path to specifically a certain person that He wants you to find out if they understand what they're reading, or if they understand God is working on both ends. God is leading people to help other people come to Christ, and God the Holy Spirit is working in the hearts of people that was soon to be saved or coming to conviction or trying to search for eternal life and not knowing how to get there. So you need to be aware of it. You never know who's going to cross your path, somebody that you might have an acquaintance with, and they are looking for eternal life, but they just don't know quite how to do that and how quite to get there. So Philip was helping the Ethiopian eunuch to be able to do that and to be able to get where it was that he needed to go. So we find here in Luke chapter 8, it's interesting that we need to be aware of, as a seed planter, that sometimes you will reap harvest of seeds that you never planted. Somebody else planted those seeds. Somebody else cultivated those seeds. Somebody else watered those seeds. And God put you in a specific place to reach the harvest. And if you go on and read that text, as soon as this was done, Philip was off and gone. A specific time and moment right there. It could be a complete stranger, somebody you don't even know. And that God's going to put you across their path to say, understandest what thou readest, and just to help them get eternal life. That's why as seed planters, we need to understand and be aware of what's going on around us. Look in your Bible in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew, here, let me give you a third way that seed planters and how God works. Jesus had just been baptized, and now He is now preaching and starting His public ministry. And Jesus' public ministry only lasted about 3.5 years. So in this seed planting, notice it says in Matthew 4 and verse 12, now when Jesus heard that John was, and that would be John the Baptist, was cast into prison, He departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum, and which is upon the sea coast and in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, and that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles, and the people which sat in darkness, that would be the unbelieving world, the unsaved, the people that were there, saw a great light, and to them which sat at the region shadow of death, the light is sprung up, and from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So here's Jesus was one of the greatest seed planters of all time, always preaching the kingdom, always preaching about being about my Father's business, always planting the seed of the Word of God. And so now He did so around the Sea of Galilee, and now He comes across, notice this now, Peter and Andrew and Jesus in verse 18, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He saith unto them, notice this now, follow Me, and I'll make you to be fishers of men. Follow Me. So here it is, interesting, in this here, as a seed planter, He just simply said, follow Me. They listen here, and they come, and you say, I don't know where exactly in there they got saved, but the Bible says straightway they left their nets and followed Him. So somewhere in there they got converted. They believed. They trusted Christ. And not only that, then they followed Him. Now, when you think of this example here of, you know, of a seed planting and being made fishers of men, it's very interesting that today God may be saying to you, if you're here and you're not saved, come and follow Me. Give up, you know, realize you can't be saved on your own. You can't have forgiveness of your own sin on your own. And you can't, no matter how good you are, you're never going to get to heaven on your own. Come and follow Me. Ask forgiveness of your sin. The Bible says here, repent, He said to them, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we find it was interesting. I don't know about for you, but for me it was very simply. At age 16, I heard the gospel in a church just like this for the first time, repented of my sin, by that simply meaning, confessed my sin, asking the Lord Jesus to come into my heart, forgive me my sin, and I believed in the death, burial, and resurrection. I knelt at an old-fashioned altar just like this right here with the youth pastor one day, opened my heart. I was 16 years old at that time. I remember 3 years later, I was attending Bowling Green State University. I was in Air Force ROTC, and I was going to go into the Air Force to fly jet airplanes is what I wanted to do. And my mom called me, and she said, I want you to come home and go to a revival meeting with us over in the Akron-Canton area. And so I asked her, I said, well, do I really have to? I mean, you're 19, ask your mom, do I really have to? She goes, no, you don't really have to, but I'd really like for you to. That means get home. I want you to go. So I understood what that means. I didn't have to go, but, you know, come on home, go to this revival meeting. So I went. I come down from Bowling Green, went to Mansfield, went with them over the. So I got in that revival meeting, and it was a great revival meeting. The Holy Spirit just kind of worked in my heart, and just as clear as ever, God said to my heart, he said, follow me. It was that simple. Follow me. Leave everything else, drop everything else, whatever you do, just come and follow me. And so I went back home. I did that. There was 5,000 people in that revival meeting. I went down front, got on my knees by myself and said, God, I have no idea what this means. I just know by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, I'm kneeling here today and I surrender all to you and I am willing to follow you to do whatever it is you want me to do. I have no clue what that means. So I got up off my knees and walked down that long center aisle back to my seat. And then I went home, went right to my youth pastor, and I said, Brother Bainey, I says, what does that mean? He said, just surrender and follow the Lord. He says, God will show you and reveal to you what he wants you to do. And that was in November. And he said, just go to Bible college and the Lord will show you what to do. And I said, you mean just quit at Bowling Green? He said, yeah, just finish this semester and go to Bible college. I said, like when? He said, in January. I said, January? He said, yeah. He said, just go finish at Bowling Green, finish that semester, and enroll. And he directed me to a Bible college in Texas, so I did that. I surrendered, enrolled immediately, and found myself, you talk about a whirlwind, in 2 months it completely turned around. One day I realized I'm sitting in Texas in a seminary, in a classroom, studying the Bible, and 2 months earlier, I was in Air Force ROTC, and God just simply said, follow me. Follow me. And so I think that's important to understand here, that whatever it is, that we need to be sensitive to God's Holy Spirit and to the leading of the Lord. Turn in your Bible, if you will, the fourth example I want you to see in the Bible on this, on seed planting. And the story, obviously, is one you're very familiar with in the Bible on Nicodemus. You would be surprised how many people that are out there that are searching for eternal life, that could very easily cross your path, and you need to be, all of us need to be, seed planters and be looking for that opportunity, somebody that's looking for eternal life, somebody that you can have an opportunity to plant the seed or water the seed or cultivate the seed, or maybe you're fortunate one day that God put you in an exact circumstance to reap the harvest, and you're the one that gets to open the Bible and share it with them, and they come to know Christ as their Savior. Here's another man, Nicodemus, was looking for eternal life, didn't know how to get it. Look at what it says. It says, there was a man in John 3, verse 1, of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Now, that was interesting to me, that if you're a ruler of the Jews, why would you go by night? Why wouldn't you go by day? But anyway, he went by night. He said unto him, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, well, now this man is supposed to be an educated, a ruler of the Jews here, and he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. You've got to have two births. You've got to have a physical birth and a spiritual birth. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, well, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness? If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? It goes on to say, and no man that ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you ever notice that in the Bible, everything centers around finding eternal life, searching for eternal life, realizing that this life does not go on forever and forever. One of these days, my friend, you and I need to prepare ourselves while we're here for eternal life. Be a seed planter. Plant seed wherever you go, allowing others the opportunity. You might just put it in the ground. You might till the ground, put the seed in the ground. Keep putting the seed in the ground everywhere you go. Plant a seed here, plant a seed there. You can do it through a gospel tract. You can do it through saying a kind word. You can talk to a complete stranger. For sure, high on your radar should be your family members, your own family that is associated, your family. That should be high on your priority list of planting the seed, planting the seed, planting the seed, planting the seed. And guess what? Brother Ron, Diana, how long was it her sister? Who was it that got saved in your family? Was it 30 years? For her sister? It was Diana's sister, though, right? Okay, you want to know how long that is? So here's Diana Sanchek planting the seed, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting some more. And many people don't have the patience. And after 30 years, then her sister come to Christ. So when do you give up? You don't ever give up. You just plant the seed and plant the seed and plant the seed, continue to plant the seed everywhere you get the gospel. Water it, cultivate it, and there'll be, I promise you this, the Holy Spirit is alive and well and working on the hearts of people out there, and you and I need to be sensitive that when he crosses our paths, it might just be like Philip, you know, in the Ethiopian eunuch. Do you understand what you're reading? Well, how can I except somebody guide me? Sometimes people just need them a little bit of guidance, a little bit of direction, and you know enough Bible in your life to be able to step right up there and to be able to reap the harvest and cultivate and then and allow the seed to come to fruition. Be a seed planter for the cause of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you, and God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for Mary Magdalene, who opened her heart and received the Lord Jesus Christ as the seed was planted in her heart, and seven devils were cast out of her life. God, we thank you for the Ethiopian eunuch that the Holy Spirit was working in his heart and bringing him to that point, but didn't understand what he was doing. And thank you that Philip obeyed the Holy Spirit and went out of his way to meet the Ethiopian eunuch to be able to help them understand what they were reading. God, we thank you that when you reached out to James and John and Peter and Andrew and all those, come and follow me, you planted the seed in their heart, not only for salvation, but then to come and follow Christ. And so God, today we think of Nicodemus here, again, another person in the Bible that is seeking eternal life, not knowing how to find it, and asking the question, how do I do this? Do I enter the second time into my mother's womb? And Jesus very simply telling him, no, unless you're born of the water and born of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So Father, help us all today to be seed planters. Help us all to be sensitive and be aware of there might be somebody around us who's ready for the harvest, and we just need to help them find Jesus as their Savior. So God, speak to our hearts today. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, my friend, if you're here and you're not yet saved, you don't have the seed of the gospel planted in your heart, you can do that today. You just simply need to believe. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so if you want to pray and you've never been saved, and you want to pray to be saved today and to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to help you with that right now, this moment, before we sing today, with every head bowed. If you're here and you're not saved, but you want to be, just pray this prayer in your heart between you and God today. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. God, I recognize that I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sin today. God, today I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for the promise and the hope of eternal life. And God, today I desire to be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together, if you will, today. My friend, if you're here and you prayed that prayer, I'd encourage you to make that commitment to Christ and follow through with that in your life. If we can be of help to you, we want to do that. Let somebody know that you prayed to receive Christ as your personal Savior. Come and let us know. Let somebody else know. But my friend, today, to the church body at large, we are all to be seed planters, planting the seed and being prepared to reap the harvest. This week, God could put you in somebody's path that is just waiting to be saved. They just might need a little help from you to be able to help them make that decision. As Brother Ron leads us today, you come. The altar is open if you want to come to pray, or if I can help you in any way, we'd love to be able to do that today, my friend.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord.
How many seeds have you put in the ground? Are you a seed
like mine?
We all should be seed planters. One more verse today. That's what Mary Magdalene said. I need thee. That's what we need to say. Father, I need you. How about you today, my friend? People said, amen. I want you to think about this. We're going to have prayer and let you go. You know, there was probably nobody that was more appreciative and thankful than Mary Magdalene. Well, I'll tell you what, if you had seven devils and was cast out, and the reputation kind of had it, she was a prostitute and that, but you know, she soon realized how much God had done for her. And you talk about somebody who was a faithful, strong, was consistent, Mary Magdalene was right there. I mean, go back and read on Resurrection Day. She was one of the first ones at the tomb and that. So God has done so much for us. We need to be faithful to Him. The least we could do is plant some seed along the way. Take a gospel tract. Share the gospel. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. You know the best witnessing tool that all of you have is your own personal testimony of how you came to Christ and how you came to know the Lord Jesus. Use it. And let somebody else know about it. Heavenly Father God, today we love you. Thank you for the word of God today. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we can all be seed planters, planting the gospel seed wherever we go, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, just helping other people like the Ethiopian eunuch found Christ as Philip shared the gospel, as Jesus came and encountered Nicodemus, and he was on that search for eternal life. God, there's people that's going to cross our path that are in a search for eternal life. May we be faithful and always willing to help others make that decision to come to know Christ as their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Good to see you. Have a great afternoon.